How many of you would like to see God move in your life? Okay, 13 of you would like to see God move in your life. What about the rest of you? How many of you need to see God moving in some big ways in your life today? How many of you believe that God is able? How many of you believe that faith plays a part in it? How many of you believe that if we'll trust Him, if we'll look to Him, He will do exactly what He said He would do? I have a word for you this morning. I know normally that the pastor brings, you know, the same message because he's preaching to three different groups of people. And so the topic will be the same. It'll always be tailored toward the specific group. But this morning, we shared one thing in the first service. We shared something else in the second service. And in praying last night, the Lord told me to do this because He's got something just for you in this service. So I want to share something with you this morning that they didn't hear in the first two services. But if you'll put it to work, get ready. 2013 is going to be an awesome, awesome year for you, because God's going to do what He said He would do. Open your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I want us to look at a story you probably are familiar with. By the way, this is a Pentecostal church, so you can talk back to me. Amen. Religious devils don't come to this church. Go with me to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's look at a story that, as I say, I'm sure you're all familiar with, but there are some things in it. These things were written not as history lessons and not just for us to shout about what happened to somebody else, but they're written as examples to you and me. And there are some principles in here that I believe that the Lord wants to spur you in. He wants to stir up in you because there are some things that He desires to perform in your life. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. And it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now, isn't that something? Jehoshaphat is just doing the will of God, minding his own business, serving the Lord, leading the people faithfully, not bothering anybody, and enemies rise up against him. Has that ever happened to you? You've just been minding your own business and doing what God told you to do, and then all of a sudden something come up that wasn't supposed to happen? Huh? Okay, seven of you, that's happened to. What about the rest of you? Yeah, sure, it's happened to all of us. Notice what happened then. Verse 2, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. So not only did enemies rise up and strategies begin to be formed against Jehoshaphat and against that which was under his rule and his authority, but there were those lovely people who couldn't wait to tell him about it. They came and told him, hey, get ready because bad news has come, trouble is coming your way. Amen. The Bible says in verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared. Now, that may seem strange, but it's just human nature. You can't help it. You know, you get bad news, you go to the doctor, you get a bad report. You go to the doctor for your annual checkup, and he says, as he looks at the copy of your blood work. Well, what happens? I mean, your blood runs cold. He's just thinking about the fact that he forgot to mail his house payment. But, you know, that struck a chord of fear in your mind. I mean, it's just part of being a human. But there's different kinds of fear. There's that sudden fear that you really have no control over, but then there is the spirit of fear that you have all control over. And Jehoshaphat did the right thing, even though what he heard shook him and scared him. It said he feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now that's a very important key there. When he got bad news, instead of running just here and there and looking for natural help, he set himself to seek the Lord. I'm reminded of another king the Bible speaks of in the book of 2 Chronicles. The Bible says that as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. If we'll get in the habit of seeking God, this is what the spirit of faith does. The spirit of God always, once the sudden shock is over, and once you, even though the the unexpected may rattle you. Once that is over, the spirit of faith always goes to the default position. What does God's word say about it? This is what Jehoshaphat did. He sought the Lord, and then he called all those that were, you know, in his kingdom. He proclaimed a fast, and they all sought the Lord. Verse 4, they gathered, Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So now then, we've got the whole corporate body seeking the Lord. It's great as an individual. It's great when you get your family, when you get your church, when trouble comes, it's so important that we rally together. When trouble comes, it's nice to have a company to go to. It's nice to have a company of believers to go to. That's what a local church is all about. Helping your family become a family of believers and training you and equipping you and surrounding you with faith and love and encouragement and the information that you may not have, but together we have it. And so Jehoshaphat did this, and they gathered themselves to seek the Lord. And this is what they said. They stood before the congregation of Judah, and they said, verse 6, Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Are you not our God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham, your friend, your covenant friend forever? And they dwelt therein and built you a sanctuary and so on and so forth. Now, notice what he's doing. He's talking about these people together. They're talking about the greatness of God. They're not talking about the problem. There is a problem, but they don't start out talking the problem. They start out talking the greatness of God, because that's where the answer is. You know, what? It really doesn't matter what the problem is if you know the answer. Isn't that right? You know, when I was a kid in school, if I knew the test material, I didn't fear the test. It was when I didn't know, it's when I hadn't studied, it's when I wasn't ready that test was a real problem for me. And the same thing is true in life. When you know the answer, it's not like you just enjoy the things that come up, but when you know what the answer is, questions don't rattle you. When you know how it's going to turn out, what's facing you right now doesn't really make that much difference to you. And this is what we have as believers. We have access to all the answers. We can see the end already, even before it gets here. Jehoshaphat began to magnify the Lord, as did the people. And then finally, they brought the problem to the Lord. He said in verse 10, Now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade. Now, what he's referring to there is that when Israel came out of Egypt and into the land of promise, they encountered these people, Moab and Ammon. But because they were the descendants of Ishmael, God had promised Ishmael to take care of him and his seed, because he was of the seed of Abraham, natural seed of Abraham, but he was of Abraham nonetheless. And so the Lord told Israel, when they passed through their borders, the borders of Moab and Ammon, they said, now don't molest them and don't fight them and don't take from them. You buy from them what you want. You treat them with respect. And so this is what he's referring to here. He said, look, we had a chance to kill them generations ago and you wouldn't let us. And now look at how they're rewarding us. Look at what they're doing, you see? And so he goes on to say, Behold, I say, verse 11, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us, neither know we what to do. Have you ever been there? You ever been in the place where you recognize you didn't have the power, the ability, the strength in your own, you know, natural reserves to overcome a situation? Have you ever faced a legal problem that you didn't have the plan for? You had no ability to handle on your own? Have you ever had a physical condition come against you that you didn't have the victory over in your own strength? That's where they were. Neither know we what to do. Have you ever been up against a situation where you didn't know what to do? Well, here they are. But notice the next part of that verse. It says, But our eyes are upon thee. Our eyes are upon thee. That's a good place to look when you don't know what to do. That's a good place to put your eyes when things aren't going well. That's a good place to focus when trouble comes. Our eyes are upon thee. Now, that doesn't mean just kind of glancing at him. That means locking in. Lord, we're looking to you. Sometimes it's scary to lock in. I remember there was a time there in the wilderness when Israel was, wandering around out there, and their unbelief and their disobedience opened the door to sickness and death because snakes crawled into the camp. Vipers were biting them. They were complaining. It's like I heard somebody say one time, gripers get the vipers. And so they were griping and complaining, and vipers crawled into the camp. Now, you stop and think about that. Snakes. Most people have an inherent fear of snakes. And what was the answer? Well, God told Moses, and Moses told Israel, fashion a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and everyone who comes to that pole and looks at that serpent of brass expectantly and steadily and with an absorbing gaze, he shall live. Well, now, as you stop and think about that, they had to stand there and look at that serpent when the snakes were crawling around on the ground, around their feet. I mean, I know that when I tell you, I told somebody to just release a rat snake in the back of this section right here, and he's crawling toward the front. I know if you believe that, you'd have a hard time just looking at me. And here, these snakes were real. These poisonous snakes were real. And he told him, look at that snake. Look at that snake on the pole, because that was a type of Jesus under the curse, bearing our sickness and bearing our disease. Well, this is the kind of look you have to give the Lord. If you're gonna look to him for answers, you're going to have to look away from the problem. Not ignore it, but look away from it. And listen to what the Lord has to say. He said, our eyes are upon thee. Then all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And then the Lord began to move. He moved in the congregation. He spoke through someone. And this prophet, this man that the Lord used, stood up. The Spirit of the Lord came on him. In verse 15, he said, hearken, Judah, Jerusalem, King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Woo! I bet that was good news. Be not afraid, be not dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Like I said, these things were written for our admonition. These things were written for our instruction, for us to use. How would you like it if the Lord said directly to you, whatever you're facing, the battle's not yours, it's God's. That'd be good news, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that lift a burden off of you? Wouldn't that set you free? Oh, sure it would. The battle is not yours, but God. Well, that's what he's saying to us. The battle is not yours, but God's. You have to realize so much of what happens in our lives doesn't happen necessarily because we did the wrong thing. There's two ways you can tell that you're in the will of God. That's when things go right and when things go wrong. You can't judge it by circumstances. See? I mean, you take the Apostle Paul. Nobody served God any more faithfully and steadily than he did. And what happened to him? I mean, the first thing that happened after he met Jesus, first thing that happened to him was he went blind. I know it was the glory of God. It wasn't sickness, but I mean, from there it went downhill. And he talked about all the things that he'd gone through, and yet he's right in God's will. Now, the key here is he went through them. God didn't do them to him. Satan did it to him in order to oppose the work of God. And you got to realize that as a believer, sometimes that marks you where the devil is concerned. Just being who you are will mark you. And sometimes trouble comes because we cause it, and sometimes it comes because we're doing things right. And Satan wants to pull you out of this place of faith and cause you to be discouraged and cause you to think, well, man, it wasn't this bad when I was, before I was serving God. Yeah, it was. You were going to hell. It was every bit as bad. It was worse, see? And what you are, right, if you're going through something, what's happening right now is this is a transition time. The ship is turning around because the Lord is directing your course, and he's got a destiny for you, and he's got a destination for you. And the winds may be blowing to try to blow you off course, but if you stay on course, you're going to get there, glory to God. And here, Jehoshaphat, Judah, Jerusalem, They were serving God, doing what God had called them to do, and Satan is working, trying to stop God's plan. He's trying to stop Jesus from being born. He's trying to destroy the nation of Israel. He's trying to destroy the people of God, not because of what they did, not because of what they didn't do, just because of who they were. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You would much rather be a child of God facing some adversity than a child of the devil with smooth sailing. There is no contest. Are you listening to me? So, here's what he said. The battle is not yours, but God's. Good news. Now, verse 16. Tomorrow, sleep late. Is that what it says? No. Wait a minute. All right, let's keep reading. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now, wait a minute. He said the battle is not yours, it's God's. So why do I have to go down? If God's going to fight, and you hear that, God's fighting my battle for me. Well, if God's fighting my battle for me, why do I have to be there? Why can't I sleep late? See? Because here's the way it works. God doesn't just work for you, that is, in your behalf, but He works through what you do. He empowers you. He blesses the work of your hands. He causes what you to do to be fruitful. He causes what you say to come to pass. He puts His word in your mouth, and then you speak it out, and He manifests it, you see. Oh, it'd be wonderful if we could just stay in bed, you know. No, I'm not going to go to court. God's going to fight my battle. I'm just going to sleep late. No. But the Lord knew how they were. And so not only did He say go down against them, He told them where to go. Just in case they was just kind of look around a little bit and say, well, we couldn't find it. He said, no, you go down. They are down by the cliff of Ziz. By the cliff of Ziz. Yeah, at the end of the brook. Oh. And that's where they were. And the Lord told him where to go. See, there's times that the Lord is... He's going to do exactly what He said. The battle is not yours. It is His battle. But He's going to manifest the victory in it when you go down in faith and face whatever enemies have risen up against you. You cannot run from trouble. You must face it head on. But you're not facing it in your own strength. You are facing it with the greater one in you. Glory to God. Can you say amen? I wish I had a friend in here. Glory to God. I'm telling you what. We serve a great God, and He is a God of great things. And He's going to win some great battles for you this year. You get ready. Glory to God. So He told them where to find them. Go down by the cliff of Ziz. Go down and by the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And He said, go out against them, for tomorrow the Lord will be with you. When you have problems in life, when you turn to the Lord for help, remember, when you go at them, you're not going in your own strength. The Lord is with you. The Lord is manifesting Himself in your behalf. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. I want you to notice two things here, verse 18 and 19. First thing that happened was when they heard from God and the Lord said, tomorrow go down against them, for the Lord will be with you. You're going to win. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. It's all going to turn out all right. First thing that they did was they fell on their face and they worshiped the Lord. Now, the next verse says they praised Him. Now, what's the difference, praise and worship? What's the difference? You know, I've been a student of the Word, a teacher of the Word for 35 years now. Consider myself to be a pretty good teacher. I've been told that, you know, I have a way of teaching the Word, making it understandable. I've had people come to me and ask me before. I've had the Rhema singers and different ones that travel and teach and, you know, are musically inclined. Come to me and say, well, what's the difference between praise and worship? And I would tell them, well, now in the Hebrew, there's, you know, these words that translated praise and worship. And then in the Greek, and is this and is that. And they'll walk away. I say, oh, okay. And I walk away and I'll think, I don't have the faintest idea. I gave him the greatest, you know, Greek and Hebrew lesson. I still don't know what it is. One day, I was in my own home church on the front row, just like we stood this morning, and we were in a praise service. I had sense enough to know that praise is not fast and worship slow. You know, some people think, well, it's a worship song if it's real slow and praise, you know, wound up time. I knew better than that. But I was standing on the front row of my own church in my seat, you know, standing in front of my seat. We were magnifying the Lord. We were in the music portion of the service. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And he'd been dealing with me about some other things and revealing some other things to me. I'd been studying some stuff that kind of went right along with this. But the Lord asked me this question. You know how when the Lord asks you a question, he doesn't ask you because he doesn't know. He's not asking you to explain it to him. He's asking you and giving you the answer as he asks. And that's what happened to me. The Lord said, in the book of Revelation, how many times is the word praise found? And when he said that, I saw where he was going and I said, Lord, I don't know, but probably not many. Then the Holy Ghost spoke to me, just in my spirit, not audibly, but in my spirit. He said, in the book of Revelation, how many times is the word worship found? You ever had anybody ask you that question? I hadn't either. Nobody had ever asked me anything about Revelation and worship. But the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, how many times in the book of Revelation is the word worship found? And I said, Lord, I see where you're going. I don't know the specific answer, but I said, probably quite a bit. And as I got to looking at it, I found out that in the book of Revelation, the word praise is found one time. The word worship is found 14 times. And it's because what happens in the book of Revelation, for the most part, is happening in the presence of God. And the Lord said, that's the difference between praise and worship. He said, worship takes place in my presence. Worship is with me. Praise takes place on the battlefield. And we're about to see that. But first they came and they worshiped the Lord. They got in God's presence. I remember reading a story about Amy Semple McPherson about how that she, years ago, you know, she held tent meetings. And this was back in the earlier days of Pentecost. And she was holding this meeting and these men that was in a tent and kind of on the outskirts of the city, and these men came out and they had torches and they had guns this is a serious deal. They are, you know, they've come to take care of business, and they've got this tent surrounded, or you know, they're outside and they're challenging these people inside worshiping to come out, and they're ready for blood. And Miss McPherson prayed and said, Lord, what do we do? And the Lord said, worship me. And she said, well, Lord, it's hard to worship you in the position that we're in. And he said, don't worship me because of the position you're in. Worship me because of the position I'm in. And so she called the crowd to begin to worship the Lord. And as she worshiped, her eyes were open and she saw in the Spirit these bat-like creatures with wings interlocked that had surrounded the tent. This was just a vision that she saw. But as they worshiped, she saw these angels come in and break through those bat-like creatures, and they receded into the darkness, and the angels surrounded the tent. And the men that were outside mocking and threatening and so forth dispersed and went away. And so they heard from God, and the first thing they did was they worshiped the Lord here. They got into His presence. You know, you can be in the middle of something circumstantially, but you can still get into God's presence. Jesus said in John chapter 14 that He's prepared a place for you. And that place is not for you when you die. He didn't prepare the place for you to die. He died and prepared a place for you. And that place is in the presence of God, and there's where your supply is. So Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel, they entered the presence of God and they began to worship Him. And then they came out from that place strong. And the next verse says, we read it, let's read it again. And the Levites, or the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Verse 20, they rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. That's a good word, isn't it? Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. What's the difference? Didn't the prophets speak the word of God? What's the difference? Here's the difference, and it has a very practical application for you and me. Believe in the Lord your God is his word, his written word. God's written word covers it all. Every principle, every success principle, all of those things, the way that we should live, the things that we should believe, that covers it all. We need to be established in the Word of God. We need to have as a foundation, as a underpinning, a knowledge, a general knowledge of the Word of God. But then there's, what do we do now? You know, there may be more than one way to skin a cat, scripturally and spiritually speaking. Y'all know what that means, don't you? You know, you go up north and you say that phrase, skin a cat, they don't know what it means. They think, why would anybody want to skin a cat? Down here in the south, we understand it means a catfish, right? Mississippi, you know that, right? More than one way to skin a catfish. Yeah. I mean, and there is, you know. You can, some people nail it to a tree. Some people do it on a piece of wood. You know, more than one way. Maybe more than one way to deal with a situation that you're facing. How do you know which one? This is where the local church is essential. Because here's what I found, and I pastored for 30 years. The Lord, I'll pray and ask the Lord, what do you want me to do Sunday? What do you want me to do? What series do you want me to get into? And the Lord will give me something just for my people. And it'll be something that my people need, something that they can put into application right away. I believe that there were other battles going on in the world at the same time, don't you? There may have been, the American Indians might have been fighting. Same time Jehoshaphat was under attack. Something could have been going on up in Great Britain, in Europe somewhere. Down in Africa, there could have been feuding among the Zulus and some other tribe. I don't know, but I'm sure that there were battles going on, and I'm sure that there were attacks and assaults going on in other parts of the world at the same time that this was happening in Israel. Amen? God didn't tell them to do that. God told Israel to do that. He had a word for them from the prophet. And God will always have a word for you, the child of God, from your pastor or from the church or from that which he has gathered you into. And so you believe the Lord your God, so shall you prosper. You walk in the light of the word on an ongoing basis. But then God's going to have the prophets, the pastors, the ministry gifts speaking a word in due season, a now word, something that you can put to work right now. Like today is a word that you can put into effect. The Lord didn't tell me to preach this everywhere, but he told me to preach it here. And what I'm going to tell you is going to turn some things loose in your life, in your business, in your family, in your ministry. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Believe what the Bible says, but believe what you hear from the pulpit and act on it. Don't just treat it casually. Don't just say, well, you know, that was a good message. No, that was something because God wants you to do something with it, because God wants to do something for you, through you, and in you. Let's keep reading. Can you say amen? Verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he called SEAL Team 6 into action. No, wait a minute. That's not what it said. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the Lord, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Wait a minute. That just doesn't make any sense. You got to understand. Now let's get the scenario here. You realize that these people, this is not a paintball game. This is real, the real deal. These enemy combatants that came down, they didn't come to play. They came, and as we're going to see, they came to stay. They came to possess what belonged to Israel and Judah. They came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. These guys are soldiers. They are professionals. They do this. And Jehoshaphat is hearing from heaven, and the prophets are saying, and they're saying it in unison. It's not just like one guy is just giving instructions. I mean, there's harmony here. There's coordination here. And now they come to this step. Appoint singers. Gosh, that sounds like a good time to appoint the archers or the spear throwers or those that, you know how to use the M16s. What about you? Doesn't that make more sense? You know? I mean, you got guys down there with guns. Shouldn't we send the guns out after them? Come on now, talk to me. But that's not what he said. He said appoint singers. Singers. Yeah, singers that'll praise the Lord. Singers that'll praise the Lord. You sure about that? I'm sure about that. You want us to send singers that'll praise the Lord out against guns and tanks and bazookas? Yeah, that's what I want you to do. Takes faith. That takes faith, brother, to send singers out against it. So what'd they do? Well, I'm sure that they might have talked it over among themselves, but the end result is they begin to sing and to praise. We got it up here? When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Give me the next verse. Verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, not until, but when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Give me the next verse. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. All right, we got the picture. We've consulted over here. We've prayed. We've worshiped. We've praised the Lord. Glory to God. We've had church. Yeah. And we had church today. We preached. We prayed. We worshiped. We praised. Now what? Now we go home. No. Now take it to the streets. Take what to the streets? That praise. You kidding me? Take it to the street. Take it to the streets. Well, all right, here we go. So they put not SEAL Team 6, but Praise Team 1 out there. And Praise Team 1 went out there and started saying, I don't know. They might have just started by faith. I'm sure they did. A lot of times that's just what you have to do. They didn't feel some kind of whoo. That came, but it didn't come at first. What came at first was they looked at each other and said, you ready? Yeah. Okay, give me an E. Here we go. Praise the Lord. Whew, for his mercy endures forever. Back up a verse. Praise the Lord. Back up another verse. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And as they begin to walk to you, and it's good to have other people behind you and with you. They didn't just send one praiser out there. It's good to go out and have some support. You know, there again, there's where the local church is so important. We got to praise him out there. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. But as they begin to praise, here's two things that happen. One of them we read about, the other one I'm just telling you about. As they begin to praise, something happened to them. Ooh, glory to God. Ooh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. He never lets us down. Glory to God. He is always faithful. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they begin to sing and praise, the Bible says, next verse please. The Bible says, the Lord. Everybody say the Lord.
Lord.
What they did triggered what the Lord did. Woo! How many of you know that what you do triggers what God does? They begin to sing in praise. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And how did that all come to pass? Next verse, please. It says, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the others to slay and to destroy them. When they made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped destroy another. All right, so here you got Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat and his people down here. You got praise team one out front, and they start. By faith, they start. But they're together. I'm sure that, you know, they had a little bit of, maybe they got to dancing, driving the bus a little bit, you know. But here they go. Praising the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. And down here on the other end, down, remember, down by the cliff of Ziz, down here by the brook, you got Moab, Ammon, and Seir. Camo paint. Body armor. AK-47s. Ready to attack. It's dark. Before day. I mean, this is early in the morning, remember? It's dark. And they're getting ready because they're moving in shortly. And they're going to take these people out and possess what belongs to them. They're down here for real. And they're sitting there side by side, quiet. They're about to spring their attack. And one of them says, what's that sound? The other one said, what sound? He said, I don't know. Sounded like singing. The guy says, singing? Ain't nobody out here singing. The guy said, yeah, listen. That sounds like singing. He said, ain't nobody out here singing, fool. The guy said, who you calling fool, fool? He said, I'm calling you fool, fool. The guy said, I'll show you who the fool is. And he pulls his K-bar knife and goes, cuts his throat. And the guy behind him says, that's my best friend. And stabs his knife in his back. And they start jumping up around there, and people going down, knives in their backs, throats cut. One of them pulls a sword, starts swinging. Another one pulls a sword, they start swinging. They kill their allies. And then they're all dead. All the allies are dead. And Mount Seir standing there, the people, the inhabitants of Seir standing there with swords in their hand, bloody swords. And they look around, ain't nobody left but them. And they say, and they start killing their friends, themselves. And now Israel's back over here, oblivious to all this. They don't know what's going on. They can't hear it. It's all sword play and knife play. And Israel's over here, and they're making too much noise anyway. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And they get down toward the end of the brook. And they're all praying. By now, they're happy. Everybody's singing. Everybody's own rhythm, you know. Glory to God. Everybody's working together. We're marching. Marching with the army of God. Marching as to war. Onward, Christian soldiers. And they get down there toward the end of the brook. One of them says, oh, 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 hold on. Wait a minute. What is that? He said, what is what? He said, what's that laying there? See, it's dark, remember? Early in the morning. It's dark. Still not even good daylight yet. What is that? What is what? What is that black thing? Looks like some black thing laying there. He said, I don't know. What are you talking about? He said, I don't know. It looks like a plastic garbage bag laying there. He said, it can't be. They hadn't been invented yet. He said, well, I don't know. It looks like something. I know I was pulling out of my driveway one day and taking my wife to the airport. It was dark like that. I opened the gate, and right there beside the gate, there was something there. It was dark and I couldn't tell what it was, but it was there and I knew it wasn't supposed to be there. This black hump. I said, what is that? She said, I don't know. I drove a little closer to it. It was off to the side, so my lights weren't directly on it, but I said, what is that? By that time it moved. It was a dog. Stray dog that was there. So I adopted it, and anyway. I think somebody dropped it off out there because they knew I was a soft touch. But anyway, Israel's down there and they're looking, what is that? I don't know, but it's just laying there. I don't know. Let's look a little closer. They eased on up a little bit, And they said, well, that's dead bodies. That's somebody dead. Well, there's another one. And there's another one. And they all dead. One of them said, I'm a dog. Yeah, they're all dead. They walk over there. Are you sure he's dead? Yeah, I don't know. What's that? Kick him, rolled him over. Said, yeah, he dead. Look at that. Look at that ring he's wearing. Let's keep reading. Give me the next verse up there. What verse we stop on? And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness and looked into the multitude, behold, they were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. Next verse. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in the gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Glory to God. Hey, I want to point something out to you. What kind of army goes to war and takes its bling with them? That's what it says. They found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves. Let me tell you something. You know enough about the military to know that when they go into combat, they leave all their change at home. They don't carry a bunch of money. They don't go withdraw all their savings from their bank accounts and take it with them. They don't wear all their finest jewelry and their gold watches. For one thing, they want to strip down where they don't make any noise. They even got little rubber things on their dog tags, and they'll tape them up to keep them from shining. You know that. You've seen enough movies. Even if you've never been there, you know that's true. Right? They don't take their jewelry boxes with them. Well, I want a ring on every finger and all my watches. And while we're at it, let's take all my dress suits, all my good clothes. While we're at it, I want all my cash. Because we're going to battle. We're going to war. Are y'all listening? Listen, there's something in this. This just don't happen. People that are going to fight like that don't act that way. What do? They strip down where they are lean, clean, and mean. But this bunch, they took all their bling with them. All their jewelry, all their diamonds, all their antiques. I mean, for all I know, they had furniture out there. I mean, what does it say? Abundance, riches with the dead bodies, precious jewels, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in the spoiling of it, gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Here's what I want you to see. Here's what the Lord wants you to understand. Whatever you may be facing may look serious. And in the natural, it's not to belittle it, not to minimize the seriousness of it. But for the child of God, with the spirit of faith, with the attitude of, look, God didn't send me down here. God hadn't left me down here. God hadn't called me down here. God hadn't appointed me to do what I'm doing just to survive. But God has equipped me to thrive. And I may be in a battle not of my own choosing. I may be in something I'd rather not be in. But if I'm going to do this, then I'm not just going to come out on the other side with the smell of smoke on my clothes. I'm going to come out on the other side better than I went in. And God showed us in this story how he said, I will fight your battles for you. The battle's not yours, but God's. Now go down against them. The reason that the Lord didn't tell them to stay home in bed was because if they had, they would have never gathered the spoil. Sure, God could have dropped a bomb on the army and stopped them from the attack, but that wasn't God's best. God's best was, now remember, these are the same people the Lord told Israel, leave them alone. And then they turn around and try to reward Israel this way. The Lord said, all right, I told you, don't mess with my children. Don't mess with my babies. You are God's baby. You are God's child. You are the apple of his eye. And when the devil starts messing, that's a good clue that God has already seen this thing. There may be a strategy working against you, but there is a greater, wiser strategy over all this thing. And he has spoil out there for you. And he has something that he wants you to come out with on the other side that you didn't have when you went in. And it's not just a win. God wants to turn this thing around and showcase you. You're all God's got in Flowood, Mississippi. He needs somebody to be seen as having the hand of God in their lives, and we serve a good God, and this is what God will do when the devil starts messing with his kids. And so these nuts, you know, they was calling each other fool. I didn't say it. They did. You was there, you heard. I'm just telling you what they said. They were fools, bringing all their stuff. They didn't realize. They thought they were coming to gain, but instead they lost everything that they had, including their lives. Israel, on the other hand, just minding their own business, content to serve God. The attack came, so okay. God showed himself strong in their behalf. Are you here or not? Yes. Glory to God. The word of the Lord came to me as I was praying for this service. And just like the Bible says here, they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. 2013 is a year that God has a strategy for. And the Lord told me to tell you, lift up your eyes. The next 3 months are going to be landmark months for this church. They're going to be amazing. There's going to be some amazing things happen for the people in this church the next 3 months. Some of you have come into 2013 thinking, oh boy, you know, it's going to be tough. Things are getting rough. This and that and the other. Let me tell you something. Here we are. We're just serving God, doing what he told us to do, loving one another. If the devil wants a fight, God's going to give him one. I said, if the devil wants a fight, God's going to give him one. God's got some bling for you. God's got some abundance for you. God's got some turnaround for you. God's got some store for you. God's got some spoil for you. God's got some deliverance for you. God's got some victory for you. God's got some blessings for you. God's got some healing for you. God's got some prosperity for you. God's got some money for you. God's got some promotion for you. God's got some raises for you. God's got some bonuses for you. God's got some blessings for you. Stand on your feet and give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, help me praise him. Help me praise him. Help me praise him. Yes. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Everybody say it out loud. The next 3 months. Say it again. Say it again. God's going to be moving. You know when he's going to be moving? God's going to do some things in your life. You know when? Come on now, talk to me. I said God's going to be blessing. When? When is it? I can't hear you. God is moving in this church. God is moving in Mississippi. God is moving in your life. The next 3 months. We're halfway through the month of January. You watch what happens in February. You watch what happens in March. You watch what happens in April. God is going to show up and show off in your behalf. The very things you thought were going to eat your lunch are going to turn around and cause you to be blessed and to prosper and to come out with increase on the other side. Woo! Glory to God. I don't know if I've helped you any, but I am looking forward to the next 3 months. Yes. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your countenance. Don't be afraid of what you've been facing. Don't be afraid of the threats that have come against you. Don't be worried. Don't be concerned about what if. Some of you are in a position, I sense by the Spirit of the Lord, you're in a position where you stand in the natural to lose everything you worked all your life for. The Lord told me to tell you, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. God's going to turn it around and you're going to come out with more than you went in with. Those families that you've invested your life in that look like they're falling apart. No, they're not.
No, they're not. That divorce won't go through, and that child's not going to do what he's threatened to do. He's going to turn and he's going to serve God. Are you listening to me? That business is not going under, it's going over. Jesus said to his disciples when they got in the boat, "Let us pass over to the other side." He didn't say anything about going under, and you're not either. Glory to God. The next three months, God is moving. Things are changing. God is moving. Things are changing. When are you going to see change? I can't hear you. Tell me one more time. You're right. You're right. The next 3 months, you're going to be gathering up spoil. You've been looking at it in the natural with natural eyes, but today is a turning point. Today is a moment of change. Today you've come to a crossroads and you're taking the right fork. Glory to God. What looked like it wasn't going to happen is going to happen and more besides. Glory to God. The deals are going to go through. I said the deals are going to go through. The contracts are going to come in. The sales are going to happen. The things that you need are going to be supplied, not just a dabble here and a dabble there, but an outpouring of God's blessings in your life for those of you who are expectant that the next 3 months are going to be months where God shows himself strong. How many of you got any faith in what God has said this morning? Believe the word. Believe in the Lord and you'll be established. You're established because of your faith in God's word. But today the word of a prophet has come to you. That is a now word. That is a word for this church in this hour. Believe his prophets. So shall you prosper. You're going to prosper, glory to God. You're going to prosper, glory to God. When are you going to prosper? When is that? Tell me again. Make me believe you believe it. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. The next 3 months are going to be months of gathering it up, gathering it in. And God, I'm going to tell you something. This exact thing is not being preached everywhere today, but it's being declared here because God wants to do it for you. Other people in other places are fighting battles, and they've got the Bible to draw from, and they've got whatever God gives their man of God. But God has given your man and woman of God instructions to have this word brought into you this morning because God is going to show himself strong in your life. You know when it's going to be? When was that? Come on, convince me. I could hear you, but can God hear you? You know, your voice is your address. Your voice is your address. It lets the angels know where to deliver your stuff. Be sure they know where you are. When's it going to happen? When's it going to show up? Woo, I believe it now. Yeah, I believe it. Let's give God some praise this morning and give him some thanks this morning. And keep reminding him that the next 3 months are going to be months of victory and blessing and deliverance for the people of Word of Life in Jackson, Flowood, wherever we are, Mississippi. Glory to God. From God's going to show up in Pearl. God's going to show up in Jackson. God's going to show up in Flowood. God's going to show up wherever you are. You know when he's going to show up? Yes, glory to God. Woo! Forgive me for getting excited. Because I know that the next 3 months are mine too. Glory to God. I'm laying claim to them, praise the Lord. My family's laying claim to them, glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you and we thank you this morning for what you've declared to us today. We believe it. And we receive it. And we declare with our voices, with a voice of praise. Yes, we will gather the next 3 months. Three times, let's say it with all our hearts. The next 3 months. The next 3 months. The next 3 months. Hallelujah. We receive it, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you that we will not be taken from, but added to. There will not be a subtraction, but an addition. There will not be a division, but a multiplication. We thank you, Lord, that through your grace and through faith in what you've already accomplished for us, it shall come to pass. And I heard the word of the Lord saying, in the next 3 months, cancer reports will be clean. In the next 3 months, financial reports will be reversed. In the next 3 months, enemies that have stood against you for long years will fall. In the next 3 months, situations that you've labored over in prayer and that you've held before the Lord for many, many, what seems to be like years, but certainly months, are coming to pass and will manifest before your eyes. So cast your cares over upon me, saith the Lord, and rejoice that I will show myself very, very strong in your behalf the next 3 months. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a big shout of praise as Pastor Joel comes. Hallelujah.